comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right. It's all right.
So, hey, everybody. This is Eric Mann. We're still on Voices from the Frontlines, your national movement building show on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and streaming live on the web at kpfk.org. So now, something I'm going to talk about, which is the increased militarization of the Los Angeles Police Department. As we speak, a group of us are at the Los Angeles Unified School District demanding that the Los Angeles Unified School Police return military equipment that they received from the Department of Defense. I'm going to read you the statement that was read today by Manuel Criollo, because we're going to have the entire show next week talking about that. And we want you to call 213-387-2800 if you want to participate in this Get the Military Out of the Police campaign. We also want to get a lot of the police out of the police, but that's a whole other story. So here's the letter that we're sending. Statement by Labor Community Strategy Center's Fight for the Soul of Cities and Community Rights Campaigns. It's come to our attention in information released this past week that several California school police departments, including Los Angeles Unified School Police, have received highly specialized military equipment from the U.S. Department of Defense 1033 program. Make no mistake, the equipment doled out to these school police departments are the same weapons of war we have witnessed utilized by police in response to social activism in Ferguson, Missouri. The recent images from Ferguson are reminiscent of a 1968 magazine cover, Law and Disorder, the Chicago Convention and its Aftermath. Instead of a school bus and batons, which caused quite enough damage in the 60s and 70s, police are now geared up with assault rifles and armored military vehicles, mine-resistant, ambush-protected, MRAP vehicles to be exact. What the Community Rights Campaign understands at this time is that the Los Angeles Unified School District and the school police department have received 61 assault rifles, 3 grenade launchers, and 1 MRAP vehicle, which is like a tank. We're also aware that the Los Angeles Police Department, Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, and school boards and police departments all over the U.S. have been receiving these weapons. One of the 5 major programmatic proposals of the Fight for the Soul of the Cities is fight for the right to protest and organize, stop the surveillance and police state against the movement. And you could learn more at www.fightforthesoulofthecities.com. It is widely recognized that our society is in a free fall of deterioration of social services, jobs, wages, housing, environment, and a terrifying increase in police, prisons, and surveillance. It should be expected that a movement of militancy and insurgency of social protest in urban centers is long overdue and should be welcomed as people fight for their rights. We believe the LAUSD school board and staff has modeled how elected and appointed officials can understand people's righteous anger and can work with grassroots groups who are proposing specific policy solutions to address actual problems of racial profiling, racial discrimination, and punitive policies that in fact set back the educational hopes of an overwhelmingly Black, Latino, and low-wage, low-income student body and their families. Certainly that progress cannot continue to take place if students, teachers, parents, and administrators who exercise their right to protest fear for their lives. The use of military equipment in urban settings comes out of the reactionary traditions of counterinsurgency against people making demands on corporations and their government, policies that violate people's human rights all over the world, including the United States. The Labor Community Strategy Center and its Fight for the Soul of Cities and Community Rights Campaign applauds the actions of the Davis City Council in California, which adopted a resolution this week that orders the city to come up with a plan to drop the mine resistance ambush protected war vehicle. We also are part of the Strategy Center sign-on to the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund and Texas Appleseed letter to the Department of Defense urging it to, quote, end the transfer of military weapons to local school districts and police departments throughout the Department of Defense, DOD 1033 Program 1, for use in K-12 public schools. We're also heartened by President Obama's statement that he wants to re-examine the policy of arming police with military weapons. We urge the LAUSD to work with us too. One, ask the LASPD to document all military weapons and materials received from the Department of Defense and other federal agencies since they first began receiving them. One estimate is 2001, but whatever the effective date it began. Two, agree that the LASPD should return all those weapons and write to other school boards urging them to do the same. Three, work with us to encourage the LAPD, that is to say, the Los Angeles Police Department, and LA Sheriff's Department to also return their military weapons, in that the LASPD students are subject to jurisdictions of those departments as well. It's signed by Manuel Criollo, the Director of Organizing of the Strategy Center, Barbara Lott Holland, co-chair of the Bus Riders Union, Ashley Franklin, the lead organizer of the Community Rights Campaign, and myself, Eric Mann, the director of the Labor Community Strategy Center. Now, this is kind of terrifying stuff. It's almost impossible. It's like if you came up with the worst thing that the system can do, it does worse. It's almost like you can't imagine in the 60s when we said, stop shooting us, stop hitting us, billy clubs. We did see increased, if you've been protesting. These cops now come at you in full riot gear. You're unarmed. And they have shields, two guns, tasers, mace, and they're scared. They're so scared. They hate protesters. They're out of control. And it terrifies people to have demonstrations, including, of course, students who have one or two strikes, immigrants, anybody. When you see these people, they really look like some evil people from Star Wars, the Darth Vader police. So they're saying, all right, you thought that was scary. Now we're going to come at you with tanks and assault rifles, grenades. So one of the things that's really cynical about this country, which I'm sure you agree, is that when Arab Spring happened, Obama comes out and says, oh, the people have risen up. They've been nonviolent. How dare you shoot them? How dare you beat them? We call on the Egyptian government to stop. We call on Mubarak to resign. It's such pure hypocrisy. And now, in Ferguson, Missouri, and relating story one to story two, police that were trained by the Israeli police using Department of Defense military weapons go into cities where black people are rising up about being shot. And they say, all right, you want to rise up about being shot? We're going to bring troops and weapons and tanks into your communities. I think in the short run, this does inhibit protest. I do. It also infuriates a new generation of young people who I believe are going to stand up to these tanks. And if the United States is both cruel enough and stupid enough to put tanks in the streets of the United States, I don't want people in the United States to say, you can't do this to me. I'm a citizen of the United States. Don't say that. First of all, a lot of people aren't citizens. And number two, why are you so outraged? You should be outraged about the use of tanks all over the world. Don't just get outraged like, hey, wait a minute, I'm on your side. No, no, you're not on their side, and they're not on our side. You should support insurgency all over the world, and you should support insurgency in the cities of your own communities. So we have to understand that this is not a mistake. Over the last 40 years, the United States has changed its path. It no longer wants to co-opt social movements. It wants to suppress social movements. It doesn't want to buy you off anymore. It wants to starve you out. It doesn't want to employ you. It wants to unemploy you. They figured out that maybe you can't afford to buy a new car, but you can afford to get a new cell phone. We even have now homeless people with cell phones. They have figured out that there'll still be enough people in the United States to buy cars and people all over the world to buy their cars. But they don't really care anymore if you lose your house. They don't care if you lose your apartment. They don't care if you lose your job. They don't care if you lose your pension. And at some point, people are going to rise up, and people are already rising up. I think the last thing I was thinking about when I said they don't care if you lose your house and they don't care if you lose your job, I realized they don't also care if you lose your mind, that people are massively depressed right now. I've never seen such massive depression because, on one hand, people's conditions of lives are really, really bad. On the other hand, I have to be honest with you, there is no clear national movement with revolutionary figures. See, I was super lucky. I got to see Martin Luther King, Fannie Lou Hamer, Malcolm X. I was part of a revolutionary movement. There really were thousands of us at the core, tens of thousands of us at the core, I said. Core means people waking up in the morning. I mean, this is their full-time revolutionary job. There were millions of people who did really, really courageous things, quit their jobs. in protest. So many black people just got fed up, and they just started standing up to bus drivers and standing up to bosses and standing up to teachers. And then there were the Chicano blowouts, and people were rising up, and it was called an insurgency. And the United States went into Vietnam and killed 4 million people in what they called a counterinsurgency, which is to put down revolts and revolutions. So we got to expect that the reason they already have the tanks is because they think some of you are finally going to get up off your ass and do something, which so far, sadly, most of you are not. So let me talk to you about taking a little bit of a baby step, which is my vision for Voices from the Frontlines, your national movement building show. Again, during the 1960s, there was a station called WBCN in Boston. It was the first kind of countercultural rock political station, and they had a very good friend of mine running the news section. His name was Danny Schechter, who I met at Cornell. He was the first radical I ever met at Cornell. And he went on in Boston to say, "Good evening, this is Danny Schechter, your news dissector." And what Danny would do is say, "Right now, as we speak, the Boston police are knocking down the door of Doug Miranda, a member of the Black Panther Party. Doug lives at 2121 Tremont Street. I need everybody to go over the house right now and stand with Doug so the police do not kill him. I'd like to tell you thousands did, but no, but hundreds did, 50s did. Right now, if I told you something's happening, would you run out of your house and do something? No, I don't think you'd do it yet." But that's my vision of why I put so much time into Voices from the Frontlines, because I think we have to reach people like you to get more involved and to understand that every time you listen to the show, you have a responsibility to do something. So I'm going to give you a couple examples. These emails, when I keep saying, please send me an email at eric@voicesfromthefrontlines.com, I'm trying to test for myself as an organizer, who are you out there? Now, let me tell you something really incredibly positive example. During the KPFK fund drive for the Pacifica archives, not just the KPFK archives, we raised $5,475. That's mind-blowing. We've had some really not great shows during the fund drive. I'll be honest with you, we desperately were trying to get $1,000 and finally did. We've had some wonderful shows where we raised $3,000. And this was a national audience, to be clear. But still, $5,475 meant that you were out there. And the premium was $250. And almost nobody got the premium. Why? Because almost nobody could contribute $250. But it was me and Malcolm X. Or you could say it was Malcolm X and me, of course. And it was me riffing about Malcolm X's Ballot of the Bullet. He would speak for 15 minutes, and then I would comment. A lot of you loved it. I could listen to Malcolm X all day, every day. So I know you're out there. And then when I say, could we please go to the phones? Please limit yourself to 2 minutes. Please speak to the subject. Guess what? You women and men are amazing. You do exactly that. You're not the nutcases. You're not the fringe. Often black and Latino, working class, teachers, unorganized, unemployed, homeless, but pretty brilliant and able to get your points in 2 minutes to be respectful and to get off the phone. So we got a lot going on Voices. Things are going great, but we want to make it greater. So here's what you could do. You've heard a comment about the police in the schools and the militarization of the police. I know a lot of you care about both. Now, I work at the Labor Community Strategy Center. The Strategy Center and our Fight for the Soul of the Cities is a radical political organization, a grassroots organization, significantly black and Latino, but very multiracial, people of all races, all social classes, all sexual orientations. And we're trying to really change the society. We're trying to have the social welfare state, not the police state, the environmental justice state, not the warfare state. And we want to take on the privatizing, polluting, and policing class that runs Los Angeles, sadly, often with the support of Mayor Garcetti and other members of the city council. But we're trying to get them to change. We're getting them to try to change and to fight with us. But we need your help. So here's a proposal. Call 213-387-2800. That's the Labor Community Strategy Center. You don't have to give any money. In fact, we're not even asking to give money. We're asking to say, I want to get involved. I wanted Eric to know I was listening. Keep me informed. Here's my phone number. The next time there's an action, the next time there's a protest, if we're going to try to get these military weapons Department of Defense out of the school district, count me in. If you need help to put pressure on the White House to cut off all military aid to Israel, I want to help. If you're fighting for better bus service, if you're fighting for immigrant rights, I want to help. So 213-387-2800, as they say, our operators are waiting for your call. Now, I'm not going to say, like these hair loss commercials, for the first 100 callers. They're lucky as hell if they get six. But we would be wonderfully happy if we got 25 callers. We'd be very happy if we got 15 callers. But are you one of them? 213-387-2800. I love doing Voices from the Frontlines. We are spending more and more time about the show. If you go up on our website, it's a very cool site, www.voicesfromthefrontlines.com. You can download all the past shows. You can see some articles up there, beautiful graphics. It's one of the coolest websites, proving that revolutionaries can do revolutionary art. But we need more of you. 213-387-2800. This is Eric Mann for Voices from the Frontlines. I really want to thank you for all you do for us. It makes me very excited to do stuff for you. Now, let me tell you about next week, which is very cool. I'll be out of town. I know you'll miss me. But Manuel Criollo, who is the lead organizer of the Community Rights Campaign, along with Ashley Franklin, who's also the director of organizing of the Labor Community Strategy Center, will have come back from the school board, this is happening right this second, to tell us what's going on. Are we going to get rid of the weapons? Are they going to get rid of these tanks? What's the campaign? And also remember, we want to get out of the police department and the sheriff's department. So tune in next week, KPFK 90.7 FM. This is Eric Mann saying, thanks a whole lot for listening to the show. We're super appreciative. Talk to you next week. And you'll be talking to Manuel Criollo, the co-host. The week after next, we're going to have an entire show about violence against women. We're going to have the head of the National Organization for Women on, which is pretty amazing. And we're going to talk about the brutality inside the National Football League. But much more importantly, the brutality of the National Football League towards its own players, towards women, towards children, and how we can stop it. Take good care. This is Eric Mann saying all power to the people.
Here comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun, I say. It's all right. It's all right.